Book of Proverbs, chapter number 22. If you would, let's stand for the reading of God's word once again tonight. Book of Proverbs, chapter number 22, verse number 1. The Bible says a good name is better to be chosen than great riches, love and favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us together at your house again tonight. God, we thank you for your word, that in it we find truth, in it we find promises, God, but in it we find conviction. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight as we would look at your word, God, that we could do so with open hearts. Lord, use the message tonight. Use your word tonight as only you, as only your spirit can. Lord, help us so we could draw closer to you. Lord, that we could be that light in this community that you call us to be. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Solomon wrote what we consider to be a collection of proverbs. But I've said before, and I'll say again, I don't believe that these words are in here on accident. I don't believe that the order is on accident. I think that they're pinned down exactly the way that God wanted them to. And for those that made Sunday school this morning, that read your lesson, the writer said in the lesson that the Bible is about the only book that you can say it about, but it has a pile of authors. It's written as several different books. It's written over hundreds of years of time. And it all points to the same Christ. And if that's not something absolutely miraculous, then you're reading the wrong book. And Solomon put these words down in all of his God-ordained wisdom. And he put them down here in order. And I know that they say that man come back later and put the chapters in the verses so that we'd be able to find things. But I believe that in some way these chapter markers were put here at the break in a page or a space that the writer may have left, because a lot of times you see a break in thought whenever you change chapters. And in chapter 22, we're going to read several verses here tonight, but and you see them all dealing with what we consider to be a good name. And Solomon said, a good name is rather to be chosen. You know, a lot of times we don't have a whole lot to say about our name. Our parents come up with it for whatever reason. And my dad told me when I was really young, he said they were trying to figure out what the name meant. And there was this song come on the radio, and it was I'm Gonna Miss Her by Brad Paisley. And that was his favorite song, so they decided to name me Brad. I don't know how much truth is in that, and I believe if it was true, my mama wouldn't have let him name me this. But that's what they said. People have different reasons for your name, and you may be named after a grandma or a grandpa, or my brother's name is Trey. He was the third one, Trey 3. But we didn't have a lot to say over what our name is as far as how to spell it and what it actually is. But from the point of birth forward, from the point of us gaining consciousness forward, we have a lot to say over what our name means. And all of my life I've been told not to go out of the house dressed like a fool, because people will think that my mama raised a fool. Because whenever people see us, that we are a reflection of our parents. We are a reflection of our raising. We are a reflection. Whenever you get into college, you're a reflection of your high school teachers. You're a reflection of the place that you went to school, because if you show up to college and you're dumb as a brick, then they're going to say, where'd you go to high school at? We are a reflection of our church. We are a reflection of our God. If we go out in the world acting a fool, and it's a reflection of our relationship with Him, which obviously isn't much. If we go out in the world and we discredit our name, then whenever we say, well, I go to Harmony Baptist Church, people make that connection. People make that relation. And although we don't have a lot of say over our name and what we are called, we have a lot of say over our reputation. In some ways we don't, in most ways we do, and we're going to cover both of them tonight. Solomon said in verse number 3, and down through, we're going to go through verse, Lord willing, 21 tonight. He outlines how it is that we maintain that good name. Because in our life, in our family, in our church, in our community, it is important for us to be able to live for God, for God to be able to use us, for us to be able to witness to others, for us to be able to lead others to Christ. We have to have a little bit of confidence. They have to have confidence in our name. Because if I showed up and you're building a house, and I show up to your house and I say, hey, I want to be on this job, and you lay out the blueprints and I start looking at them like, and you look at me and say, I want the rafters on cut with no bird's mouth, and I want them on a 6-12 pitch. And I look at you and say, well, what's a rafter? How much confidence are you going to have in me to build your house? If I look at them prints and I flip them over upside down and can't make heads or tails of it, how much confidence are you going to have in a person that does that? How much are you going to let them build your house? If they can't make heads or tails of a set of plans, then you're not going to have enough confidence in them to build your house. The next thing is, you ask him, they say, well, where's the last place you built? Well, it's that place down yonder. You walk up to that house, and it's like that Wonder Works in Tennessee. Y'all seen that? It's upside down. Everything in it is crooked. It's miscolored. It's mismatched. You try to walk in the front door, and the door don't open smooth. It's just absolutely awful. And whenever you see that house, and you ask the homeowner, well, who built it? And they say, Brad Cooper built that house. Are you going to let me build your house then? Are you? Lord, I hope not. Because if first things comes to, I can't make heads or tails of the plans, then you have no confidence in me whenever you meet me. But then you go asking about a reputation, and you go asking, well, how he did on this one and how he did on that one. And if someone did a terrible job, then chances are you aren't going to use them. And right now you probably have in your head people that you know of that have a poor reputation whenever it comes to work. You know people that have a poor reputation. People that have skimped on jobs. People that have done so-so and done a little bit here and a little bit there. And they don't have the highest of reputations whenever it comes to doing a good job. Whenever we were getting ready to work on the church and we were picking out contractors for this and that and the other, the only name that was 100% universal, it's the first thing that everybody said, I think it may have been Brother Randy said, well, who are we going to use for a plumber? And about three different people all at the same time called a man's name. And whenever everybody agrees that this man is the best for the job, that man has a reputation. Well, that reputation didn't show up by accident. That name didn't show up by accident. He's done a good job up until this point. He did a good job over here, and he did a good job over here, and he did a good job over here. And you know, it's just like people to talk to each other. They're going to spread a good job, and they're going to spread a bad job twice as fast. And so if we're going to maintain a good name in the work of Christ, then we have to give people something good to spread about us working for Christ. Solomon said, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Those who are prudent, those who think things through, those who pay attention, those that study, those that labor, those that have a passion for it, those that want it. This afternoon, I believe that the work of God can and will continue with or without any of us. But I believe that a really, really big problem in the evangelical work of God today is an absolute and complete loss of passion for the work of Christ. People don't care. You know the quickest way to do a poor job in whatever it is you're doing? Don't care. Try it. Try cutting your grass and not caring what it looks like. And then whenever you get done, look over your shoulder and see all the stuff that you missed and all the sprinklers that you run over and the flower bed that you ran up into. Try not caring. You'll hate the result. It's awful. It's terrible. And we care and we put all this effort into everything in our life. And we care and we put all this effort even sometimes into the work of God. And that's where the prudent man is. The prudent man is one that is passionate. A prudent man is one that pays attention. A prudent man is one that studies. A prudent man is one who cares. And this evening, there are entirely too many people in the work of God. There are entirely too many people coming in and out of church houses just don't care. And because of that, you see church numbers dwindling, and you see people that just quit coming to church, and all of a sudden it don't bother them. They don't go elsewhere. You see people show up once, twice a month, and be done, be finished. What if God cared about us as much as we care about Him? Amen. Solomon said that a prudent man foreseeth it. If we pay attention, we can see it coming and we can avoid it. If we pay attention, we can live for God and under His leadership, we will prosper. But if we are simple, if we go through the motions, if we just do and go and go and don't really care. That's what going through the motions is. That's just not caring. Miss Marriott, I believe 100% that you can sit up here in this piano and you can close your eyes and on autopilot you could play 5 or 6 songs. Just on autopilot. Because my mama does it sometimes, not the family of God. You forget that one. But the rest of them you can play on autopilot. I mean just going to things, right? But whenever you put passion into it, whenever you love it, and whenever you're playing it on purpose and prudently, everybody can tell. Everybody can tell, especially whoever's standing right here. They can tell because it's evident whenever you put passion into something. It's evident whenever you care. And whenever you don't care, that's evident too. Because being on autopilot and just cruising through the motions and not really getting anything accomplished. In college, everybody wanted a job in the computer lab. I worked on the farm, paid $7.25 an hour, and I tore up every pair of clothes I ever owned, wore out 3 pair of boots a year, and we worked. Ooh, we worked. We got paid the same exact amount of money as the people who worked in the library. And the people who worked in the library, what they did is they sat up there in a chair next to a printer that was about yay tall. And about twice a day, they worked on 8-hour shifts, and about twice a day, they would put paper in that printer. That was their job. They sat in a chair playing Call of Duty on their phone. They sat in a chair watching Netflix on a laptop in front of them. And they were just there. They were existing, but they weren't living. We can exist in church, or we can live passionately for God. And I promise that reputation will end up in the community of what this church does, of what these individuals do, or what the preacher does. Solomon said that by humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. How do we get this good name? How do we maintain this good name? We are prudent. We are humble. We fear the Lord. Verse number 5, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. And he that doth keep his soul, he that cares, he that pays attention, he that guards his life, he that is careful in what he sees and what he looks at and what he does and how he talks and how he acts and everything that he's involved in, those who keep his soul shall be far from them, shall be far from the thorns and the snares. That makes sense? Number 6, and we all know this verse, it's probably on your wall at home. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now there's a very big difference in training your child and bringing your child to church. A very big difference. I don't want to be misunderstood, and I know a lot of you here, your kids are grown and gone, and you're still raising them, believe it or not. But there's a big difference in bringing your kids to church and making them sit in a pew beside you or in a chair beside you and training them in the word of the Lord. And Lord willing, we're going to try to get into that one a little bit deeper at a later time. But if you send a dog off to obedience school, they're going to train that dog, right? Do they bring that dog back the next day? No. They can't do it that fast. How long do they keep your dogs? I've never seen a dog, but I trained horses in college. And we were 5 and 6 months on breaking horses and getting them back to their owner, teaching them obedience and commands and halter commands and all of that.
And we're 5 and 6 months per horse, per animal. And that's spending 4 and 5 hours on that horse 5 days a week. It is a process. It is something that takes time and time and time and time. And if one time you get somebody on them this week, one time you get somebody on them that lets them do what they want to do, you know what happens? You got to start back over again. Training is hard. There's a difference in training kids and raising kids. Anybody can raise kids. People do it all the time. That's the reason people have, 14, 15, 16 kids. Because all they do is raise them. All they do is make sure they don't die. That's raising kids. You make sure that they live, that they survive, and that's what you're doing. You're just raising them. You're not training them. You're not parenting them. And I dare say you're not even loving them if you don't train them in the Word of God. And training them is hard. It's difficult. It's crazy. It's sometimes you want to pull your hair out. Chances are your parents tried to train you, and you're here. You're living in the Word of God. You believe in the Word of God, and I hope and pray that you value the Word of God more than anything else. And if you do, you will train up your kids. You will train up your grandkids. You will train up your nieces, your nephews, the strangers that you come across, anyone that you have an influence on, you will attempt to train up in the Word of God in the way that he should go. Verse number 7, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is the servant to the lender. And he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity. There's a lot in that verse right there. The rod of his anger shall fall. He that soweth iniquity, you reap what you sow. You get out what you put into. You get out of the Word what you put into the Word. You ever sat down and read the Bible before and got up, went about your day, and nothing changed? You know, something's supposed to change when you read the Bible. It's supposed to have an impact on your day. It's supposed to have an impact on your life. It is supposed to. But if all you do is you sit down and you open up your Bible and you say, be not among the wine bibblers, among righteous eaters of flesh, but the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, despise not thy mother. Buy the truth, sell it not also wisdom, instruction, understanding. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad that she that bear thee shall rejoice. Okay, I've read my Bible today. Let's go hunting. Let's go fishing. Let's go do anything else. I'm finished with this. How many times do we do that? Or do we not even read our Bible? How many times do we read our Bible just to get through it? I read a book in college. It's called The Importance of Being Earnest. It's a play. It's a terrible, terrible play. Terrible play. We had a test on it in theater class, so I read it the night before, me and the guy I was studying with. And we read through it real quick, and then we were coon hunting that night. And so we read through it real quick, then we went coon hunting. We got back the next morning. We read through it one more time, showed up for that test. You know what we got out of that test? The same thing that we put into studying for it. Vanity. Whole thing. We bombed it. Terribly bombed it. Our particular professor offered a retest. The retest was all essay questions. So you had to pay a little more attention. You had to read a little more thoroughly. You know how long we took to read it the next time? And it took us like 15 minutes to read through this whole play. The next time we read it, it took us a week. Because we paid attention to it. Because we read it with a purpose. Because we read it with a passion. And we both ended up passing the test and the class with an A. But we got out of it exactly what we put into it. You reap what you sow. You sow iniquity and you'll reap vanity. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Cast out the scorner, and the contention shall go out. All of these is how you keep a good name. You want to keep a good name, you be careful who you hang around. Cast out the scorner. Contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge. Those who focus their eyes on him, those who look upon him, those who follow him, preserve knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. And a slothful man, someone who don't care, someone who is slow, someone who is lazy, someone who is just lackadaisical about the things of God, says, there is a line without, I shall be slain in the streets. And the mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. And he that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. He that is separated from the Lord, he that is not in a relationship with the Lord, shall fall into that deep pit, shall fall into sin. Verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction should drive it far from him. Training up a child. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Bow down thine ear, hear the words of the wise, and apply. I'm really glad that he didn't stop in the middle of that verse and call it quits. I'm so glad that over and over again in God's word, he don't say just read these words, but he says be a doer of the word. He don't say just hear my words, but obey my words. Apply thine heart to my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee, have I not written unto thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sin unto thee. All through this world, people are going to be looking, especially if people knows you're a Christian, they're going to be looking for something wrong with you. The only thing that we can control is what we say, what we do, how we react. The world can say some terrible, awful things, and oftentimes it does. We cannot control what other people say, but we can control the perspective and whether or not it is a lie or truth. We can control our accountability between us and God. And in that little bit of control that we do have over ourselves, we can find ourselves reaching toward a good name. We can find ourselves reaching toward God. But there's a lot of work that has to be put in it to get there. There's a lot of sacrifice to be made. It's not easy to be prudent. It's not easy to be humble. It's not easy to train up a child. It's not either easy to avoid sowing iniquity. It's not easy to cast out the scorner. It's not easy to stay away from the slothful man. It's not easy to live for God. But it's necessary. It's absolutely necessary. One more time in chapter 22, verse 1. Solomon said, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and love and favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and the poor meet together in heaven, and the Lord is the maker of them all. While we have a verse for song, we're going to ask for a verse of invitation. If someone has something on their heart, we invite you to come at this time.